Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. And here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the 9th episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast. My name is John O'Connor, and I'm here with Daniel Tao. This episode is the second part of our talk with Justin DiRico, the owner of Boonton, New Jersey's amazing venue, Boontoons, and also the drummer of the funk and experimental band, Hot Pink Apocalypse. Part 2, we discuss Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, Justin's first and crazy concert experience, his favorite gear, what local bands he loves, and more. Without further ado, here's part 2 of our conversation with our guest, Justin DiRico.
And we're back. Hey, what's going on, everybody? So anyways, let's get back into the questions.
Yeah.
One question for you is something that I always want to know, because I see it's a huge resurgence, and that's of vinyl. And you have plenty of vinyl here available for purchase. You can look through, etc. Now, do you feel vinyl is a higher quality of sound than a CD or maybe like a FLAC file on a computer? Or what's your view on vinyl?
I'll probably get this wrong, though. I was having a conversation recently with somebody here who was much more knowledgeable than me about the dBs and just the sound spectrum that was recorded on vinyl. From what I do know, though, not on your standard represses that they're doing now, you know, like these, you know, just newer vinyl recordings, they're not quite doing them the same that they did from any, like, your original vinyl pressings. Like, most of the stuff I have here anyway, like, if you do notice, it is a lot of 70s and 80s stuff, because a lot of this stuff was bought from people who've been collecting for the past, you know, 40 years and have these huge collections and don't want them anymore. And that's where I'm able to purchase, you know, a lot more than just a handful at a time. But from what I do know and what most people say, I've never done any experiments myself, so I don't know if for any of this information to be completely true or not. But apparently vinyl, a true vinyl pressing, is the highest quality sound that you can get. I want to say, maybe just by highest quality, I mean truest to the sound being recorded. So, like, you know, I think the first CD ever pressed, I could be wrong about this, though, I think the first, and this is at least what someone told me, so if I am wrong, it's not my fault.
It's that bastard's
fault. I'm just ignorant. Yeah, that jerk. I want to say, and it's one of the number one selling albums of all time.
Thriller?
And probably will be. Which one?
Thriller.
What do you think? Nope, but that's up there. It's up there.
Eagles' Greatest Hits?
What do you think? Nope. Think of one CD. Now, I love this band, and I've always loved this band, and a lot of people do, too.
Cisco. The Thong Song.
Oh, man, I love that. You're so close. No, it's Spice Girls. No, but seriously, I'll give you a... All right, take a couple more guesses so we don't waste tons of time, but think of, like, all-time greatest albums overall.
Kiss Alive.
And don't think about what you'll... Kiss! Oh, my God, dude, are you serious?
What?
Was that a real answer?
Yes.
Oh, my God, I thought you were joking.
What? They were one of the biggest bands on Earth.
Biggest bands, all right.
You just said, well, think of biggest bands.
Okay, yeah, it's true. Let me put this differently. Biggest band that doesn't suck. Shots to
Kiss. I'm not a Kiss fan.
Okay,
so.
Me neither. But anyway, though, this guy was in here trying to sell me on Kiss the other day. He was like, do you ever hear this album? This album's great. And I was like, nah, I'm not into it. He's like, oh, don't put it down. I'm like, all right, dude.
No, I tried it.
I'm like, no, I've listened to Kiss. But anyway, no, so it's Pink Floyd.
Ah, fuck, yeah.
What album? What do you think? Dark Side. Dark Side is one of the, if not still, the number one selling album.
Well, dude, they also use their music in, like, everything.
True. But yeah. Dark Side, you know, you don't have to be a Pink Floyd fan to, like, at least someone who knows or loves music, put on Dark Side and just at least admit it's a freaking work of art.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, everything about it, not just the quality of the music, although I'm saying it's extremely awesome quality, that's also my opinion, but, like, I've listened to a lot of music. I grew up a musician from a very young age, played many instruments, gone to tons of concerts, listened to countless hours of music, Spent a lot of the time alone, even just listening to music, learning parts, learning instruments, making music, like a lot of alone time even. And just, I've got lots of music in me. I could still, just when you put on Dark Side of the Moon, there's something about it that just, they nailed it. You know what I mean? Just they nailed it. Now, I love the music. So like I said, I'm being a little partial to it. Mm. It's my opinion once again, but I think any musician at least, or anyone who's listened to a lot of music and has respect for music, at least in a spectrum of music. See what I did there, Dan? You see how I mentioned spectrum? Yeah. Dark Side? Yeah.
I see that.
Okay, good, good. So, come on, it's an amazing album artwork.
It is.
Anyway, it's just from start to finish, there's something about it. It's the flow, it's the concept, it's the quality of sound, the quality of the song. I mean, come on, dude, this song, like right off the bat, just that first minute and the heartbeat comes in,
yep.
You know, and that scream comes in and boom, Breathe kicks in. I'm just sorry. That hits me, man. You hear that and you just go, oh my God, this is awesome, you know? And I started liking Pink Floyd when I was way younger, you know? And there's many great Pink Floyd albums and many great Pink Floyd songs. Once again, my opinion. Mm-hmm. But Dark Side, there's a reason that Dark Side is survived as long as it did as one of the most popular, if not the most. For a while, I think it was up there number one. I want to say record sales, since that was the original question, right? Yep. I was talking about vinyls and making a comeback. And it is. It is record sales are up more than ever. It's been steadily going up over the past few years. But, like, you know, obviously, when CDs came out, that's when it started going down. And then you got to imagine the 90s and the earlier 2000s. Like, people weren't buying records. No. They don't give a crap about records.
No one was even buying an album. It was all about the single for at least 10 years.
Yeah. So, but now you're noticing lots of bands are pressing vinyl.
Yeah.
So I think the appreciation for the artwork, almost, if anything, is there. But as far as sound quality, from what I know, vinyl has the largest spectrum of, I want to say it's just the sound. So, like, things that you won't hear on a compressed digital album.
Yeah.
You know, recorded in a studio, when you add all that compression and all that stuff, there's low frequencies and high frequencies that aren't going to come through. Mm. So you're actually not getting a true sound. But a true vinyl pressing done right in a studio, you hear everything. You hear a pin drop. You know what I mean? And that's something special. But going back to Dark Side, and like I said, I could be wrong about this, mm-hmm. I believe the first ever compact disc released was Dark Side of the Moon.
Hmm. That's like a good selling point for their album.
Yes. Yeah.
Like nowadays, like...
Oh, can you imagine when the CD came out, how amazing it was?
Yeah.
Pretty sure Dark Side was in 1971. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. You're asking all
I'm staring at Dark Side of the Moon right now. Let me just get it.
All right, so we're going to take a couple-second break.
Couple seconds, I'm back. It's quick. I keep it out front on purpose. This is an original press, by the way, but the one that I got from another guy had the poster in it still. I kept it for myself. I can't get rid of it. This is in great shape, though, but what do we got here? Dark Side of the Moon, 1973 is what it says on here.
2 years off.
I thought it was 71.
You call yourself a fan.
I'm a jerk. Maybe my favorite band ever, awesome album, and I get it wrong. 71, I don't know what I was thinking. But, it says 1973. So, I'm pretty sure that the first compact disc, I want to say burning, I guess, whatever, pressing, who cares? But I'm pretty sure that it was Dark Side.
You wouldn't think that CD quality would be better than vinyl.
That's the thing.
You know?
When you think, oh, yeah. Digital.
Why would they
computers?
Come out with it to make it better quality? You would think.
I think if anything, maybe it was just easier.
Well, because
like,
the name.
Think about it. This is essentially like when they make a vinyl pressing, it's actually done with the original. It's like a wax thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not actually. So they use it's completely. I think it's probably a more complicated system, mm-hmm. don't you think? Mm-hmm. And obviously, like once compact disc took over, I mean, look how easy it is to pump out digital information and burn these tiny little easier to use discs. But like then you lose a lot of the quality, you know.
So maybe it's more of like the compact size that they were going for.
I think it was more about the size,
compact
if anything.
Disc,
exactly.
You know, literal.
Look at the size of a record. It's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people with huge.
You want to drive around in a car with a CD player?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Dude, let me tell you, getting all these records and stuff in here was not a lot of fun. Did that answer your question, John, about the vinyls? Do I think there's a difference? But I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's the sound quality. Mm-hmm. But then again, you got to figure it's the artwork. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't fit a poster into a compact disc sleeve. Mm.
Wow.
You almost can, right? But still, the overall size, I don't know.
Well, I mean, if records aren't selling nowadays, as they say, why are bands putting out vinyls for the records?
Exactly.
So clearly they know people are going to buy it for some reason.
No, yeah.
And most likely not to listen to it.
It's becoming popular again. Hmm. And I get it. And you know what? Like I said, I really do appreciate the artwork on the vinyls. You know what's funny is one of the biggest things that people say, and this guy even said it the other night, and, you know, come on, so it's like the 70s. You know, a lot of these people, they talk about, and 70s was a great time for music. Most people
were
like,
how old were you then? 10, 11?
Yeah, I was in my teens.
No, he was 30 by then. He's like 90 now.
I had like five kids by then. The funny thing is most people say, oh, yeah, you know what, too? He's like, hey, you know what the difference is between a... I don't know why I'm making that voice. I guess that's the average guy telling this crappy joke. I think the guy was like, you know what the difference is between an LP and a CD? And I was like, nah, man, nah. Well, I mean, what do you mean? What do you get? Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I was like, let me just let this guy tell his joke so he can leave.
I'll hear you. Go
yeah.
for it.
So I was like, nah, man, nah. Well, I mean, not really. Nah, what's up? He was like, he's like, you can't break up your weed and roll a joint on a CD.
How did I know that was going
yeah.
there?
Yeah, yeah, it went there. Yeah. He's like the third or fourth person since I've opened to tell me that joke.
Yeah.
But they mean it, too. And they're like, oh, back in the 70s, we used to roll all our joints on the LPs.
And drugs are bad, kids.
Very bad.
Except if you're in Colorado or Washington or...
where it's legal for medicinal purposes only.
Absolutely.
Certainly not New Jersey.
Not yet. No. We do have medical here.
Yeah, I think there's like two or three dispensaries in the entire state.
But there was actually one that was in Montclair. I think
yep.
that closed down.
Well, it used to be the Inner Eye. Yeah. You remember that place back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I would know that or anything about what they did there. They only sold tobacco products.
You could only buy the pipe for tobacco.
Exactly.
Wacky tobacky.
It was actually right down the street. There used to be this sick old record shop in Montclair. There was two. There was two super cool music spots. There was even this cool one in Denville. I remember being a kid getting out of like middle school. I'd find my way into Denville to go to this record store that was there. It's just crazy. There's none of, there's nothing.
No.
Like you can't, even in the mall, what is there? Like there used to be, remember there was like the wall.
Dude, there was two FYEs
right?
And now they're closed.
Gone. Yeah. That's it. Gone. Everything, everybody's buying it where now? On freaking line. That's it. Oh, Best Buy?
Best Buy.
That's true, actually.
Yeah.
They actually do have a decent music selection for...
They do.
But, I mean, it's not a music store.
No.
Hmm.
But, I mean, what's sad is I do agree that physical form, there's a lot more value in that than, oh, let me go download another song off iTunes.
Yeah.
And, I'm guilty of it. I've got Spotify. I love it. It's great.
I
get it. It's great. It works great. I get whatever I want right when I want it. Almost everything. They have almost everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've looked up a few things.
They do not have the new Taylor Swift.
Oh, so I meant to mention
oh, that's
that, by
such
the way,
a travesty.
Too. 2015, top-selling albums. Dark Side was one of them, right up at the top there. Taylor Swift's album.
Yeah.
Number one selling album.
And now 2016 would be Adele, right?
I don't know, maybe, yeah. I haven't checked.
Well, that thing has been.
And that's based off of, whatever the top charts. I don't know who determines that crap.
Billboard, maybe.
Probably.
Yes.
So, obviously not the best taste. But it's about record sales, right?
Yeah.
So it's really about the sales. So it's not about the quality of the music.
Yep. Now Billboard is actually taking into streaming, where I think it was 5,000 streams on a song would equal, I think, 10 tracks being bought or something.
Get out.
Like Kendrick Lamar went from, like, nothing to platinum overnight because
of streaming.
Wow. No way.
The weirdest thing in the world.
But that's not even technically a sale. But I guess they're just saying, well, people
maybe
listen
like based
to
on like
it.
Royalties that
yeah.
you get for sure.
Well, look at this one. My band, well, Dan's former band, Too Far Lost. We're
Metallica?
On.
Oh.
Yeah, yes, Metallica.
I wish it was in that band.
Did I ever show you pictures? I met Metallica when I was like 13.
Really?
First concert I ever went to, my dad took me.
Wow.
Got backstage
nice.
Passes.
That's
nice.
A badass.
Everything, but
for a show.
I want to say Kurt or Kirk. Well, there's two, right? There's Kirk and Kurt, right?
No.
Guitarist.
No, Kirk no. Hammett.
James.
Yeah.
James.
I'm sorry, it wasn't James. No, it was. I'm sorry. I always say Kurt and Kirk because I can never remember what it is. Is it Kurt?
Kirk.
It is Kirk, right?
Captain Kirk.
Isn't that sad? Because I'm a huge Metallica fan.
Kirk,
and one of my favorite. So it's Kirk, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, so Kirk was the only one. He ditched out, so we didn't meet Kirk. But James was there
mm-hmm.
At the time. I want to say Jason was still in the band, the bassist.
Jason
Newsted.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was there, and of course
and
Lars was there.
Yeah.
So I have pictures with Lars, Jason, and James. It was awesome. My brother was
did
there.
They make
a couple
you
of his friends were there. Pay. No, here's
the
thing,
the
dude. We were in like the middle area, but in a front row, like where there's like like an intersection.
Uh-huh.
And this lady walks by and turns around. She's like, Are you guys all together? Is this your dad? This is it. We're like, yeah, yeah. She just hands this stuff out to us. Boom, 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 boom. Passes it all out.
What?
And we're like, what is this? And it says Metallica after show. Who gives a shit? And it was a Metallica. Danzig opened up the show.
Oh, wow.
I want to say, I think Stone Temple Pilots, but I could be totally wrong. I could be making this up. It was a long time ago. Some other band. And then Metallica. So it's like our first show ever. First time ever seeing Metallica. Boom. Backstage passes. Totally free. Met the band. It was like the craziest thing ever.
Holy nice. Crap.
It was cool, man. Pretty cool to start your show going, you know, career.
Not bad,
13
yes.
years old, coming into school the next day, being like, yeah, we didn't get home till 5 or 6 in the morning.
Because I was meeting Metallica.
But I was hanging out with Metallica. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
So anyways, what I was saying
What were you saying? The band you guys were in before, not Metallica.
Too Far Lost. Yes, Too Far Lost.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at it the other day. I think maybe like Monday. I don't know what day it is. It's Wednesday, I think.
Today is Wednesday.
Yes. So Monday I looked at it.
It's almost Thursday.
I know. I can't wait.
Thursday. Anyways, we had close to 15,000 streams of all our songs on there. So we had like 5,000
of... You mean 1,500?
No. 15,000.
Wow. 15,000? From what platform?
Spotify.
Okay.
So we had these numbers, like 5,000 for Push and Pull, 4,000 for like everything else. Equaled out to...
I remember Push and Pull.
Yes. Still play that live.
Nice.
Yes. Anyways, so 15,000 streams, and then I look at our CD Baby account,
still use CD Baby?
Well, we use it just...
A lot of people are band campers now.
Just for mechanical royalties and mm-hmm. licenses and stuff like that.
Dude, like 5 cops just went up the street in a row.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Creepy.
But it's a good thing they totally missed me.
Exactly.
Hopefully someone didn't steal my car.
Yeah, really.
No one wants that piece of shit.
Yo, what the heck?
What are you doing?
This
anyway?
Hostility.
So anyways, I looked at our...
We rode a bike here. And
yeah, and the
hoverboard.
Winter freezing my ass.
If I pass you on the way home on the hoverboard, I'm running you over. Who's that jerk on the hoverboard? Hey, it's Dan. All right, go.
Oh, thank you. Thank Sorry. You. I can go now.
Go ahead, John. Show. This is your show.
Yes, it is. But anyways, 15,000 streams, we made about $60.
15,000 songs needed to be played.
For $60. I swear to you, I could even pull up right now. But yeah.
But you know, if you think about it, like if you're a big band
uh-huh.
and you're getting that...
They got millions of...
Millions of yeah. them, right? It's actually generating money for them.
Absolutely.
Well, it's better than zero.
Maybe
right?
that was Trapped bragging about how much they
You guys
they made
should
for that
be happy about that $60.
Yeah,
you should come to Boontoon shows with that $60.
There. Those are our numbers. Our numbers.
How many songs do you have up?
4.
Huh. Maybe. Yeah. No, it's a lot. Yeah, it adds up.
Yeah. $60.
What's it take to get a song on Spotify?
Not much. CD Baby.
Yeah, we went through CD Baby.
Or now, what do you mean you went through CD Baby?
They have a program for artists where you upload the music, you pay a certain fee, mm-hmm. then it gets distributed on iTunes, their own website, CD Baby, Spotify, all the streaming sites, and all like
obviously iTunes Music now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be or Apple there. Music, whatever it's
I
called.
I stopped
yeah.
using iTunes as soon as I got Spotify.
Yeah. Same.
Because no offense, like I could pay $10 for an album.
Or you could
Or I could pay like $10 a month.
Yeah.
Hmm. Let me think about this one.
Yeah, but you could do it for free and just have to deal with commercials.
Dude, I can't take it. Yeah, I can't right. take it. Hmm. I can't do it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that's all you have to do is just you pay the fee, you upload it, and then they...
So it's a fee to get your music on there?
Yeah.
Is it a one-time fee?
I think it was one-time, right?
Yeah. It's like 100. Yeah, and they stay there's for
per
life.
Song?
It's
per song?
For life. No, for the whole thing.
For the album.
What, the whole release.
Album? All yes. album was $150, I think.
So EP, regular album, double album, whatever you want, mm-hmm. it's the same price.
You so do once digital. You upload your album to Spotify.
It'll be there for the
that's it.
Remainder
it's
of
there.
Spotify, yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like now, does Spotify generate any money for you?
Yeah, the $60-something dollars.
Okay, that's what we were just talking about. Yes. Okay,
because they take their percentage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. Yeah. So, like, I'd see, like, we get, like, little, like, I don't want to say checks, it's not actually checks, but it's, like, 2 cents, and you're like, what happened? Someone streamed our music, like, 6 times on, like, iTunes, or, like, someone bought it in, like, Asia, and right. we're getting, like, a dollar from it. It's the weirdest shit in the world.
Yeah. That is strange.
Yeah.
I bet weird you Josh workers now. Don't even know that we're getting money from that.
They have no
well,
idea.
Well, they're going to listen to this show, and they'd be like, guys, you owe me that $20.
I didn't say that.
I can edit that part out. Too Far Lost has made no money.
Nope.
Take note.
we're
running away with a whole $60.
Yes.
Now, what was that post you guys said? Look, this thing doesn't need to be all about me. What was that post about you guys bringing the band back? You guys going to bring that band back?
Well, that was me. Dan, however, is no longer with the band.
Well, that's because
really.
He was the weakest link. And now that he's out of it, you guys can dig.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, he's got his own thing, Dead Tide, right. Phenomenal band, and a lot of good things are happening soon. And, you know, nothing but the best, obviously. You know, if I hated him, I wouldn't be with him right now at fucking close to midnight on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Let's face it.
I don't fucking know what day it is.
You need me.
It's Thursday now.
Even
it's
if
true.
You did hate me.
We need him to hook up 2 or 3 microphones and turn on his MacBook.
Yeah.
We really needed him.
Yeah, so, anyways, he left the band. We're actually, we're trying out a drummer this Saturday.
Nice.
He's actually coming from Pennsylvania, but he's so, he bought our album on iTunes. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Yeah. This doesn't automatically mean you're in, you know, yeah. You still have to try out. But he's like, yeah, dude, I fucking love you guys. You know, that's good, though. Dude, the passion was through the roof.
That's good. That means a lot.
That was one
as
of the
long
things.
As he has the talent, then.
Yeah, that was one of the things that, you know, made us inactive. It was just, We lost passion.
Yeah, it's easy to lose steam. Sometimes changing members can be good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you might take a hit on losing an amazing, beautiful, talented...
midget?
15-year-old girl. I wasn't even going to mention your height. Because, you know, I just feel like we always see eye to eye anyway, Daniel.
Really?
Which eye are you talking about?
Oh, God, dude.
Is it my lazy eye, the one that, like...
Let's talk about something else.
I actually never look you directly in the eyes. That's why I always kind of, like, look down. You know, I was talking.
You're looking down at me because I'm short.
I'm always looking down at you.
Piece of shit.
Because I'm so tall. Getting a new player, you will take, like, a hit on a vibe. But then again, it changes cool, you know? What's also cool about it is you can take the band in a little bit of a different direction if you want now, you know?
Yeah.
Now you can actually have someone who can play the drums.
I know. Crazy.
God.
All right, so let's...
Lessons, Dan. Think about it. You want lessons, bro. Hook you up.
I'm taking guitar lessons.
What for?
So I can write my own music. What else for?
What for?
Maybe just because no one wants the
drummer. Yo, because
no one wants the drummer.
The next time you guys need a new guitar player for HPA, I'll
there
step
you
up.
Go.
Boom.
All right. You're
might
hired.
Add a little metal flair to that, but
that's all right.
So what?
Teddy actually rips up some metal.
I see him with the Iron Maiden t-shirts on.
It's his thing. Sometimes, like, when we pick it up in speed, like, next thing you know, a jam song turns into, like, what are you doing over there? But it's awesome because I just start ripping it up. Next thing you know, we're going crazy. And I'm like, all right, first we were playing, like, this sick-ass dance beat. Now I'm playing, like, a super-fast punk beat, and Teddy's shredding up and down the skip. And it's cool. It's awesome.
Yes.
I love it. You put a little mix in there. But, okay, cool. So, what else? Let's wrap it up so you guys can get some sleep so we don't have to sleep in Boontoons under one blanket on my couch in the back, but the offer's there.
It is cold enough.
Oh, God.
No, I'll turn the heat back on for
my
eyes.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so we have a lot of equipment junkies out here listening to us. Boontoons, can you do a quick rundown of what you have to offer?
Equipment do you use? Do you like to use? What do you prefer?
Okay, well, personally, as a drummer... as far as cymbals go, I'm a Zildjian guy. I've played, you know, Sabian, Paiste. Overall, I don't know if it's because I'm not someone to do anything unless I think it's right. You know, like I go to a store, I'm OCD, I'm going to hit every cymbal 100 times. You know, I really am. I will be there. They'll be closing. I'll be like, hold on, I have to hit this one 3 more times. But anyway, I just find that their stuff is absolute quality. Mm-hmm. I've never had anything fail on me from then. Sound-wise, it's amazing. But there's a lot of good cymbal companies out there. And everything, it all depends on what you want to play on. But, I mean, as far as at least drums go, love Zildjian. I like Tama. My drums I'm extremely fond of that are sitting over there that I bought when I was 15 years old, which makes them about 18 years old now, and they're still going.
You sure?
And you even
only
said before, 18? They sound great.
Only 18 years?
All right, yeah, it's true. If I bought them when I was 15, those drums were like...
That was 1971.
All right, yes, let's do the math. Hold on, break out the iPhone. No, seriously, though. So those drums are 18 years old. They've been in like 10 different bands. They've been all over, in and out of all types of different situations. I even remember when they were in Montville when I was in... What was the band? Jeez.
Jeez? That's a good
name. No, that's a terrible band name. Eastern Lights. The first real band I was ever in, Eastern Lights, we played in a garage in Montville, right by the Red Barn area.
Garage space. There
it was a garage, yeah, garage space. And it was actually a karate school. We called it the Skarate School.
Because we were a ska band.
So creative back then at that age. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So I don't even remember, like, one party. There was a... I'll never forget it. I came to band practice, and there was, like, a hardened banana peel, like, smushed onto my bass drum. Hmm. And, like, being the guy that I am, like, already kind of particular and weird, like, those are my babies, you know what I mean? So, like, I walk in, and there's, like, this brown, hardened, solidified peel on my bass drum, and I freak out. I'm just like, what the... Man, I'm like, what the F, dude? Like, why don't I just take your guitar, you know what I mean, and smush, you know, a watermelon all over it and let it sit there for a week, and then you can be like, hey, man, I'm totally fine with you, dude. Like, no. Like, I was just like, who did you let, you know what I mean? I was like, this is bullshit. So I freaked out for a little while, but then I took it off. I cleaned it. It was okay. But that was just one of the weirdest things that ever happened to my bass drum. But seriously, 18 years old, tons of playing, and you heard it. You even said before, yo, your kit sounds great. Like, seriously, dude, people love playing on that kit. 18 years old, it's still going. So Sonar, I think Sonar drums are great. I love them.
Well, if JoJo Mayer plays on them, they have to
JoJo Mayer's awesome.
He's fucking nasty.
Dude, his band Nerve, so awesome. Anyway, JoJo Mayer's awesome, dude. He's like my style, too. Drum and bass, quick type beats and stuff. He's the man. So anyway, so we got Sonar drums, Zildjian. The PA system I have here, which is excellent, and what I've been told by a lot of music people is top of the line, is EV, stands for Electro Voice. Great stuff. I have a Mackie mixer. I've got a Fender bass amp. I have a Music Man guitar amp. And Music Man, if people don't know, actually was like a split from Fender like a long time ago. I think it was two guys who started Fender, and one of them went a different direction and started Music Man. And some even say to this day that Music Man, some even say to this day that they think Music Man's actually even more quality than Fender. Though I don't think Music Man makes stuff anymore. I'm not sure. But most people who come here and know what they're talking about, they're like, yo, can I use that Music Man? I'm like, hell yeah, you can. And then I have a Roland keyboard amp. And but that's pretty much it.
That's the drum pad?
Well, I have the Roland drum pad, but then I also have a Roland amp. Almost anything electronics, Roland and Korg.
Yeah.
I love. I love both those. There's a lot of brands out there. Was that garbage blowing down the street?
Beer can.
It probably is. Soon there'll be kids walking by banging on my door. We want vinyl! Right there, I'm like, go home. Anyway.
Soccer football.
But yeah, that's the extent of my equipment. So, yeah. All that stuff is quality. You know, I wouldn't want to open up a venue and say, I'm going to buy the cheapest crap possible.
Yeah.
You know, like, then who's going to want to play here?
Exactly.
You know? And then the lights I have, the cool DJ lights in the back are from a company called American DJ. And then the strip lights, which are super cheap, you can get them on Amazon. Love you, Amazon. Thank you, Amazon. They're called Super Night. That's all I can remember. If you type in Super Night, they'll pop right up. And
there
they're cool.
There you go, kids. You could have your own Boon Tunes.
You can make
Boon
Tunes.
Exactly. Do it in your room.
Boon Tunes in a box.
Boon Rooms. Have your own Boon Room.
There we go. Dude, we're patenting it. Let's do it.
Damn it. Yeah, I'm going to do it now before you have a chance.
All right, so let's plug your band and anything you guys are doing.
Sure, let's do that. So HPA, my band Hot Pink Apocalypse, we do have some shows coming up, though. There's actually a discrepancy, so we're not sure if we're playing the 26th this month or not. I'll be finding that out soon. And if we're not, I will be booking us here as long as the owner's okay with it. I'll just have to check with him.
Yes.
And be sure that the owner of Boon Tunes will let
He's a dick. He never
he's an
back.
Asshole, yeah. Dude. I'll deal with him later. He doesn't answer me back very often. But so other than that, I think I'll be playing here on the 19th.
Any big shows or any shows happening here?
I have two awesome shows coming up this weekend, though. I don't know if you guys want to have the podcast up by then. But there's a lot of big shows coming. But if people do want to know, not just about HPA, though, if you are interested in my band Hot Pink Apocalypse and anything about us, you know, obviously you can type our name in Google. It's quite the unique name. All of our stuff will pop up. But we have a website which displays all of our platforms online. So, you know, it's going to have our YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, all that good stuff.
What's the website?
Facebook. It's just hotpinkapocalypse.com.
Easy enough.
Yep, super, super simple. And Boontoons, I have yet to finish a Boontoons website, but for now I've been using Facebook as my website. So if you go onto Facebook and type in Boontoons.
All one word.
All and that's one
B-O-O,
word.
B-O-O-N-T-U-N-E-S.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And you don't know how many times in a rush that I type things to people. And I will give you one guess what I accidentally type instead of Boontoons.
Boontoons.
Yeah, dude. Because, yo, right next to the B is, like, right there. Yeah. It's, like, right near the
end. No, it's called Boobtoons. Fuck it.
It is not Boobtoons.
Boobtoons.
Yeah, it's not. But, yo, like, every once in a while, I'll send it to someone where it's a little more embarrassing than, like, oh, I'm just answering a band back. They'll think it's funny. Like, no, like... Like, I don't know, like, whether, like a younger girl that I might need to work, or like a mom that's like, oh, what's the name of your place? And I type in Boobtoons, and then I gotta look at it.
Autocorrect.
Oh, crap. Oh, well. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. Definitely didn't mean that. They're okay with
boon
it.
Boon tits.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be worse. No, so I legitimately was trying to type Boon. But anyway.
Yes.
So Boontoons doesn't have its own page yet, but it does have a Facebook, like I said. You can go there. That's how you can keep track of all my shows. It's got all upcoming events. It's got pictures from shows, videos from shows. It's got info about me. We have an Instagram on the Boontoons also. We got Twitter. I am going to make a Boontoons YouTube.
Yeah,
I really should. I don't know why I haven't yet. Time's just really gotten to me lately, you know. Next thing I know, oh my god, I'm open 7 months. I can't believe it, you know.
Yeah,
I definitely need to have a YouTube because I have mad footage, man. I've recorded every single show from day one that I've had here, except for one where something was wrong with my camera and I needed to just run the show. So I had to just say, screw it, I gotta start the show.
No.
So literally, you know, hundreds of shows.
Wow.
Well, not hundreds of shows, because actually I haven't probably had that many
hundreds
yet.
Hundreds of bands.
I'm sorry, yes, hundreds of bands.
Yes.
Hundreds of sets. But I'm doing good, you know. The shows are happening more often. I'm meeting a lot of really nice guys, nice bands this weekend. If I could even give a shout out to some of these bands, some of the nicest guys ever, some of the best bands I've been playing with. You guys might even know some of these guys. Paul Allen, you might know him. He plays in a band called Hail Mary. Another one of his bands is called Control. His band is playing this weekend, their first show ever. They just started another band. This kid plays in a lot of bands. It's called Scary Stories. I thought that was really cool. If you guys remember the Scary Stories books.
Yes.
I don't know if you do or not. Yes, that's pretty cool. So, one of my favorite dudes, one of my favorite drummer guys other than you, Daniel.
Oh, nice.
His name's Greg from Denville. Greg Furlong. He plays in another band called Basement Beers.
Okay.
Yeah, and I actually went to a Basement Beers practice a couple weeks ago. And let me tell you, they actually do practice in a basement. And they drink beers.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I know, it's just like, original. Hey. Well, that's what's funny. My band Addict Space with James, right? I mean, like, yeah, we literally came up with the name because we were like, all right, we are actually practicing and playing in my attic. So I think Addict Space, it is kind of a cool name.
Yeah, it is.
Hot Pink Apocalypse actually means nothing. We just couldn't decide on a name. Matt came up with it. We looked at a list of things. We said we need to just decide. I was like, that's interesting. I was like, I don't know what to think of it, but I like it. And we went with it.
Yeah.
And most people, when they hear it, they're like, that's kind of cool. But yeah, so that is the best place to keep track of shows is on our Boontoons Facebook. That is the best way. And some of the other bands that are really, really awesome that have helped me out, just for anyone's knowledge out there, this guy, Sean Ursler, I probably said his last name wrong. I feel bad now. But his name's Sean. Big guy. Like, easily like 6'5", 6'6". Mm-hmm. Plays in a hardcore band. Which means nothing. Just throwing it out there. Super big guy. Could be scary. Plays... in quotations, scary music, right? And he's the nicest guy ever. I mean, they played a show here. He was just so accommodating, super thankful, really nice, really helped out.
Open up this fucking pit!
Yeah, he's just, yeah, but I'm, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what you look like, how big you are, how scary you might look, what kind of music you play. You could be the nicest guy in the world. And this guy's nothing but awesome to me. He's put on two shows here already, and he's about to put on this show coming up this weekend that's awesome. Shaping up to be really, really big. They're really awesome. Some of my favorite bands, I might as well just rattle them off so I don't get too
just
long.
Yeah, promote the shit.
These were some of my favorite bands. And by favorite, not only do I mean good music, but just made good connections with the people in these bands.
Yep.
So I got one of them, fairly local. This kid Paul is in it. I played with him before. The Company Kept.
Oh, yeah, we actually featured them on
You know the company kept?
We did.
Awesome. You hung out with them?
No, it was through it was through Jimmy James.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Paul James and I have known for a while. Paul even used to jam with us sometimes in my garage. Super nice guy, and everybody else in the band, super nice. They practice here once in a while, and it's really cool to know them. They're a bunch of great people. They're here twice a week practicing here. So the company kept school. Another band that Paul is in that's doing really well in the area for a bunch of young kids. Paul's the oldest one in the band. I think he's only like 23. All the other kids are like 18, 19. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and they're doing really good, and they're really driven. Really passionate about what they do. A boy named John.
Of course.
You've heard of them. I know you know them. They've been around a while.
I actually met him for the first time here.
Who did you meet?
Canvas Clash, though. Paul.
Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice guy, man. Really nice guy. Super good kid. Super talented. One of the best bands that I've seen. Also a bunch of really cool dudes. I want to say they're from like Montclair and whatnot. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. The Planet U.
The Planet U.
Extremely talented.
Now, is it Y-O-U or just the letter U?
You like you, Y-O-U.
Y-O-U.
So it's okay. The Planet U.
All right.
I want to say it's like math rock, psychedelic, like math rock, I guess would be like the, I could be wrong with that kind of, but anyway, great. Great performance, extremely tight players, and, you know, for someone like me or you guys who like loves music, great music. Awesome. Obviously Hot Pink Apocalypse is one of my favorite bands.
Shameless ever.
That drummer kicks ass. Anyway,
no, he doesn't.
We got. Damn it! Who said that? Dan, that better not be you.
No, that wasn't me.
I knew it.
I'm fond of your talents.
Dan. Couldn't be you, Dan. Another band. I'll mention them. You guys know them. Monitor.
Yep.
They've played here a lot. Cindy's band. Archie Alone. Super nice people. Had them a few times here. This band. Super nice guy. I want to say he's the head of the band. His name's Dave. He's from Montville. They played two shows here, and both of them were awesome. They're called We Stole the Weekend. Then the reason I'm mentioning this band is because not only because their music, like, uniqueness, but, like, their knowledge of music. Like, I was playing Radiohead, like, in between. People normally love the music put on in between because you'll never know what I'm going to put on because it's really what I want to hear.
Yeah.
So I don't actually care what people want to hear in between the set. I'd rather put on something weird that they're like, what is that? Like, I had Aphex Twin on, some guy was like, what is that? Or I had on some other weird crap, and some guy was just like, this is awesome. Like, I'm glad that I'm turning people on to stuff they've never heard, you know? Like, it's taken me a long time loving music, listening things, to get and find these
things. And the best part is, you didn't even scratch the surface.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, anyway, so I was playing a Radiohead track, and right off the bat, this band started. They were like, whoa! They were like, oh, that's so awesome, you're playing this song! And, like, these kids are, like they're kids. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely, like, 16, 17, 18.
Oh, they're my age.
That's how you look. You're older than me. I know it, Dan.
Don't probably.
Yeah.
I'm actually 60.
Are you my father? Anyway.
That would be scary.
I hope not, because very I stare into your eyes, I feel certain things. Oh, so anyway, their name is Mezzling. They were called Mezza, M-E-Z-Z-A.
Uh-huh.
And they recently changed their name to Mezzling. And I asked them why they did it, and I actually forgot. But the kid that I talked to, his name is Bruce. He takes art lessons around the corner. So every once in a while, he'll stop by after his art lessons and be like, hey, man, awesome. What's up? Yeah, super nice kid. Doesn't even drive yet. Their sister, like, helps drive them to their shows. So they're just really nice kids, really love music.
And how do you spell their name?
M-E-Z-L-I-N-G.
Okay.
And they're really, really awesome because they, at a very young age, really are doing the right thing in my mind, which is play what you love, be different. You know, and don't worry about what you think is popular. Like, they just do what they think is right based off of what they love and what they want to do. And I just think that's really cool to see a young group like that not only know a lot of great music, but have that mindset already. Because most kids are doing that, well, let's do what's popular. Let's play this, play what's these. Like, no, like, these kids are trying to be interesting. Like, they came in here, they set, like, a mannequin up on stage. They put, like, blankets on. I even asked them, I was like, why did you guys wear blankets anyway? They're like, you know, we just think of weird stuff, and we thought it'd be cool to just throw blankets just on. All of us are wearing blankets. Then they had, like, ponchos on the other time. It was just funny, you know? And they do a really good job. All their friends and family come, and everyone has a great time. So, you know, all the bands that I've mentioned as well, like I said, it's not just the musical talent that I'm impressed with, but it's the vibe, it's the energy, and the positivity of them, you know, more than their music. And I'll mention one more band because they were freaking awesome, and I got them to play here, and I was happy that they did because I know they play a lot of shows, and they've been touring. They've been a band for something like 14 years.
Wow.
The guy who heads the band, Neil, it's Downtown Brown.
Downtown Brown.
HPA played a show with this band like a year ago or so at the Saint in Asbury Park, and we met the band. They were super cool. They helped us carry stuff in and out. We helped carry stuff in and out for them. We talked a long time. We loved their set. They were awesome. Totally worth looking into. Extremely entertaining. Put on an amazing show, and they really grind it, man. They're doing what most of us want to do, but even admit that it's a lot of hard work for not a lot of payoff, you know?
Yeah.
You're touring almost all the time, and they're not making thousands and thousands of dollars every night at these shows, you know what I mean? And they're doing it because it's what they want to do, you know? And, like, I respect that big time. Because to be out on the road is not easy.
No.
I mean, I was in Professor Plum, and the biggest tour that I remember doing with them, I only was part of the band for, you know, the last year or so. They were already a band for, like, 4 years plus, I think, before I joined, around, like, you know, I want to say 2001, I think I joined. We did 2 weeks. And even just 2 weeks, being away from home, driving, and barely sleeping, and, you know, eating Denny's and... Arby's and Subway and Waffle House, you know, and then sleeping on hard floors in college dorms.
If you're lucky.
You know, yeah, if you're lucky. Yeah, right. Like, some of the nights might even be spent God knows where, you know. So, like, there's bands that do that all the time.
Yeah.
And the payoff, I don't know if there is a real payoff. The payoff is probably that you enjoy what you do.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing here, and that's what I do with my drum lessons even. Honestly, if I didn't need money, if I had a ton of money, I totally would teach drum lessons for free. Because I just want kids to have a sick-ass drum teacher. Because I'm a sick-ass drummer, Dan.
you need my confirmation of that?
I need John. I don't even know why I called you John. Maybe because...
Do I look like his little brother? Am I John Jr.?
You're my God.
Little John.
Yeah, you are a lot bigger than him.
Yes, I am.
No, but seriously, I do think I'm a great drummer, and I do need you to validate that for me.
He's a very horrible drummer.
Oh, God.
Just not good.
Anyway, so yeah. The drum lessons, I love it. I love teaching the kids, and, like, I truly do love music. And I would do it for free if I could, you know? But my boss says, dude, you deserve to get paid for what you do. Your students love you, and I love my students, no joke, you know? It's great to see kids learning something at such a young age. I didn't pick drums up until I was 15, you know? So some of these kids, my youngest student's 4 years old.
Wow.
Can't even reach the bass pedal. I have to find a seat that's small enough to get him to reach the bass. And I'm going to have to find something else. He really needs a kid set, but the studio I work at, we have a real drum set.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get a little kid set, but I still teach him, you know, and I come up with unique ways to show him things. But, like, 4 years old, literally, he's like 2 feet, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, teaching kids is something I really love, so, and I love music, so it just makes sense.
Yeah. Awesome.
But, well, I know you guys are antsy to get out of here, so let's quickly burn through some other things so we can be done. Unless you want to just finish it now.
We could do a part two episode soon.
We always could. In fact, you know, Boom
Tunes, still have a shit ton of things we didn't even cover yet.
There probably is. Well, let's look at, should we? Should we just knock them out? Should I knock it out in a minute?
Go. You got it.
It's worth it.
Let's
no, it's worth
this.
It. So one of the questions you wanted me to answer was, like, venue issues, or, like, do you find particular problems? What problems arise from booking bands?
Yeah. Well, you did something general before, but let's go a little
bit more.
This
is a little
more
detailed.
Yeah.
So the good thing is I actually wrote these down before I prepared. I did homework, guys.
Nice.
I did real work. I actually
We don't
care.
Do any homework.
I actually care. See, I care about this podcast more than you do.
You really
Dan,
do.
You're fired. John, hire me. I'm going to take this shit to the next level. All right, so booking band problems. Things like this. This is something that bands should try and not do at all costs. Last minute cancellations. You know, if it's an emergency, I get it. But I think a lot of this is bands don't, you know, when a venue asks you, hey, can you play this date? You ask your band, you get everyone to give you a confirmation, and you stick to it.
Yep.
And you commit, and you tell the venue or the promoter, hey, we're good, we'll be there, and that's it. But not a couple days before, hey, my drummer can't get out of work. It's like, you knew about the show 3 weeks ago and you said yes. And you're going to tell me that, and I think a lot of it's BS, or a lot of it's probably true.
Yeah.
One of them didn't actually confirm. They poorly communicated, and now I'm out of band last
just
second.
Just assumed.
Yep. So that can't happen. Another one is just inexperience. My suggestion for bands are, and this isn't being, I guess I'm going to say.
A dick?
Yeah, I was trying not to say it, but since you said it, now I feel much more
an
comfortable
asshole.
Saying it. No,
a
Dan.
Prick, a real
no.
POS.
The first word that came to my mind
douche.
Was dick. So being inexperienced, you know, and look, was I inexperienced at one point? Yes, I was. But even when I was in one of my first bands, that my mom drove me to be able to play my show at Skaters World with the Slackers. I think Slackers. We even played with Catch 22 that. No, we played with Catch 22 that night, I think. Jesus. How weird is that? Our first show ever is a little kid ska band at Skaters World. Do you guys remember Skaters World?
No.
Yeah. You guys are too young.
Yeah, I do.
You guys are too
young.
Where
was Skaters World?
Skaters World, it's at the corner of, like, the
Isn't
Hamburg Turnpike. No,
no,
Hamburg Turnpike. It's
place.
Right by William Patterson.
Okay.
So, like, Hamburg Turnpike, and I want to say, what's that major? Valley Road. So,
oh,
if you were to go on Valley Road in Wayne and, like, hit the Hamburg Turnpike, it's this spot on the right there. There's a place that used to be called Skaters World. There's a roller rink slash venue.
Wow.
One of the complaints was that they didn't turn the house music off while bands were playing, because I remember it too.
What?
In between tracks, you'd be, I'm like, wait, is that what? I'm like, really?
It's hysterical.
Do you like that? Was that a good beat, Dan? Was it even?
No, I was talking about the beat, no.
All right, well, anyways. So, you know, even as kids, I think before you play a show, practice like crazy. You should practice like crazy. You should take it extremely serious, even if your first show is just a party at your house. Like, you're putting on a show. You should really practice, you know? So I think that's important. And know how to use your equipment. Like, know how your guitar works. Know how to fix it. Know how to quickly change a string. Know the ins and outs of your amp so that when you come to a show and you go to play, your shit works.
Yeah.
You know? It's just that much more time, you know? And I'm cool here. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, now your set's down to 20 minutes. Because, no, I'm still going to give you the 25 or 30 minutes that you deserve. But, like, damn, dude, if you just had the right chord or knew that your stupid machine was broken, we would have saved 5 minutes while everyone's standing around watching going, why isn't the band started yet? So you've got to know your equipment, know your instrument, and practice your shit. So then the other one, we got just knowing how to do a sound check. Literally just knowing how to do a sound check. The sound check should be taken seriously. You know, if the venue says, hey, all right, let me hear that kick, you don't just bang it a couple times. You slam on it, right?
Or show off when they tell you.
Right, or
play
no,
the
it's not
kit.
Show off. It's just... But just hit it. You want to hit the snare? I'm not asking you to do a drum solo. Hit the snare, right? You know, when you do a mic check, you're supposed to be loud because I want to hear how loud your vocals are, you know? So, you know, knowing that a sound check is important. If you don't want a sound check, fine. Then just start. You won't sound as good if I don't get a quick listen to what you're going to sound like. Real quick, let's keep going. Communication, just in general. Being honest. Answering back when I say, hey guys, you good for the show? Like I said, like, don't lie, don't beat around the bush. Oh, well, I think so. No, just if you can't make it or you think your band's unavailable, just say, okay, I'm unavailable. Or if you're running late to the show, send me, do read my info that I sent out. That's another one. That's the same thing with communication. I send out a really long, detailed list, respectfully written, with all the rules of my venue. What I expect from them, what they should expect from me, what they should expect here at the venue, what my back line is, and all of those accommodations and things. I lay it all out, super easy to understand. It's sent to the bands 2 or 3 days before a show, and there's times I have stuff that I sent to bands weeks ago, and you know how Facebook, you can see if somebody's looked.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even opened it yet.
Wow.
So if you're a band and you have a Facebook, you should check your messages. Because there's people trying to get in contact with you. If you're a band, you're a business, right? Essentially. So, like, dude, if you're not going to check the thing. So, like, of course, these bands show up doing all the wrong things because they didn't read my info list. So they're coming in right away. Boom, all this equipment. All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, what are you doing with those drums? You don't need the drums. Right away. And they don't know anything.
Yep.
So, like, that's super important. Communicate with the venue or place that you are playing at before you play. Otherwise, how are you going to know what you're supposed to do, when to show up, when load-in is, what to expect, is it 21 and up, what's the deal, hey, can I bring this friend? Like, all that stuff matters. You need to communicate with the venue or the promoter, you know, weeks before, days before, and day of. Hey, man, looking forward to tonight's show. I'll see you there, you know? No one does that. But then there are bands that answer, boom, within minutes, you know? It's all over the board. But that's just the main thing. And other than that, the biggest thing, hands down, be respectful. Respect the space, respect the venue, respect the people around you. You know, I read this quick thing online yesterday. It was funny. It was a description of moshing. Nowhere in the moshing is there, you know, punch somebody in the face.
No.
That's not moshing. That's not what it's about. Like, you know, when someone falls down,
you pick them up.
You pick them up. It's about camaraderie. It's about looking out for each other. It's about letting aggression and energy out and having a good time. do I like the people who... You've seen them. You guys have seen them. You've been to shows. Yeah, like swinging the arms and legs. Like, okay, now you're going to hurt somebody, you know? I mean, listen, I've been to a lot of sick concerts. One of the best concerts I ever went to when I was a kid that my dad drove me to because I was still too young to drive. And they haven't even invented the wheel yet at that point. And I think the Model T was coming out at that time. But anyways, Rage Against the Machine. I want to say it was 1995, 1996, maybe 1997. So I was like 15 or 16. It was a Rage Against the Machine Wu-Tang tour. How awesome is that?
It sounds like a Rock the Bell.
How? It was a little bit before that.
Oh.
It was a bit before that. Craziest show I've ever been to. I think at the time it was PNC Bank Art Center or something
still
like
PNC,
that.
Yeah.
Is it still PNC?
Well, it was Garden State Art Center.
Okay. Yep. So PNC. That was the craziest show ever, man. Rage Against the Machine. It was amazing. And you know what? Like, nobody got hurt. No one was hurting each other. But yeah, it's some angry ass music. But like, some of these shows I've been to, man, like, I see people getting knocked into getting hurt. And it's like, that's not what it's about. Like, when you're at a show, it's about having fun. It's about being respectful. It's about being careful. You know, be careful of the person next to you. Have a good time. But I think a lot of the problems, and I don't want to extend this even further to get into it much, though I'll touch on it. I think a lot of people get too messed up at shows.
Yeah.
All right. People are using too many drugs. And I don't want to say alcohol is separate from drugs because it is also a drug. You know, it's funny how people say drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, well, I tell people I don't do drugs. They'll be like, oh, do you drink? I was like, maybe you didn't hear me. I just said I don't do drugs.
I don't do things that impair me
right, or
my judgment.
Right. Yes. So, you know, I think that's one of the biggest problems. You know, you go to a show, some jerk next to you has had way too much.
I think we've all been there, yeah.
Right? And next thing you know, one, they either just punch at you. I had a guy just try to punch me in the face. You know, handling him was quite easy because he barely hit me. He missed, and he basically fell down on his own.
So you didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything.
You knocked him out with your good looks.
Exactly.
There you go.
Hey, I like this guy. I've actually never hit anyone in the face ever. I've never had so much fun. If I ever need to, I will. But I've always managed to avoid it by either talking. Or just, you know, avoid it. Or just being defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe dodge a punch and then, like, you know, make someone submit. But, like, I've never felt the need to physically really hurt somebody like that. I'm more of an emotional pain giver.
Yes.
Yeah. Just so you know. I know Dan's disappointed right now. Dan was like, ah, I thought Justin was going to put me in the...
the chokehold?
Yeah. Get his arms
the
around
rear naked choke.
But seriously, though, that's my biggest thing, is that any show you go to, whether it's an acoustic set or it's hardcore music, whatever, you know, respect the space that you're in, which means don't break stuff. You know, I've had a few bands here totally disrespect the equipment or the area, and that's not cool. And the same thing with the fans. You know, I've had some fans here, and I've noticed them doing things that are not allowed and whatnot. And it's just, you know, you need to respect the people, you know? Like, this isn't, I don't know how to put it. My venue, you know, first off, I'm a non-alcoholic venue, you know? So, like, the purpose of this place is to be about the music. There's nothing, if you come to a show here and you think that you're going to get anything else other than music, that's all I have to offer is music. I mean, you can say, oh, well, so it's a good time, right? I get it. But, like, it's all about the band. I mean, in a band, one of the things I hate is playing bar venues. If I never had to play a bar venue again, I wouldn't. Not just because of my views on drinking and drugs and whatever.
Everyone's distracted.
Yeah. They're there because they want to get drunk. They're not there because they want... And then, you know, halfway through your set, they're like, Freebird! You know, how many times have I heard that? I was like, oh, God, dude. Someone get this guy out of here.
Yeah, that's John at shows.
Ugh,
Freebird. Freebird.
No, dude.
No, I do that to James's band all the time.
Oh, you
I'm
asshole.
Like, Freebird. And he's like, shut up. I'm like,
that's like the last thing that any band wants to hear ever.
Ugh. Even Skinner.
Yeah, they don't even want to play.
They're like, all right, we played it enough. We're not playing it anymore.
But for real, it's just like, you know, as a band, it's like you're playing this show, and it's like, are the people here really interested in me? Do they really want to hear my music, or are they just here to get drunk? So that's another thing I really love about Boon Tunes, is there's no other reason to come here but to just have a good time, listen to music.
Awesome.
I try to keep things clean. I keep it safe. So
yeah, Boon Tunes located in the heart of Boonton, New Jersey.
I was waiting for that. The heart. I love how you say that. Not even just how you say it, but when did you come up with the fact that you were going to say located
in the heart of New Jersey?
Of New Jersey. Yeah. Well, is it in the heart of New Jersey? No, because remember he said that it's the heart of Boonton,
New Jersey.
The heart of Boonton, Dan. Let's
but this is the heart of New Jersey right here.
You're in my heart.
Oh, God.
All the time.
All right, that needs to wrap this up quick.
I need
to leave right now.
So, we don't need to turn the heat on for my life. Dan. We don't need to turn on the heat. My temperature's rising.
Oh, so, Dan, any plugs?
Dan, what about you? Yeah, buddy, plug your band. Plug your stuff.
Dead Tide. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.
I did.
You can check out my guitar player's YouTube, which is pretty popular, Chrome Celica 00. You can like me on Twitter and Instagram, Rock Drummer, RCKDRUMM3R. Yes,
because
it's kind of funny.
That's not
complicated. That is really your name, isn't it? I love that.
See? Screw off. Drummers unite. Crappy vocalist. Chew. All right, so yeah, check out my...
drummers' brains are the most developed.
Exactly.
They have problem-solving skills. That's what we have.
So check out Too Far Lost, my previous band, getting back together. Schecter guitars,
yes,
Tama drums, Axis pedals, Sabian cymbals. That's about it. Oh, and Zoom.
True.
Zoom
I'm
electronic
part of the Zoom
equipment.
Family. That's what I use.
Awesome cameras, very good audio equipment. John, what up with you?
My God, we promoted so many people, so many products.
Is it
buy them
enough?
All, like them all, whatever. Yes, Too Far Lost is back. We're now a three-piece.
Yeah.
We're still looking for a drummer. We have a few tryouts coming up, but if you're interested, if you're a good drummer, if you're located in the North Jersey area.
In the heart of New Jersey.
Yes.
There's
not
a perfectly
in the heart of
good
Jersey.
Drummer sitting right across from you right now, John.
Yes.
Do you play double bass?
I can.
Oh, with one foot?
I don't need double bass, bro. Single pedal. Watch Joe. Yo, you like JoJo Mayer? Watch his bass pedal techniques. Oh my God, dude, you guys are man. Enough about JoJo Mayer.
Yes.
Back to Too Far Lost, needing a drummer. That won't be Justin, because Justin
needs... And
behind the barricade. Yes. Justin's too busy in the HPA world and too busy in the Boontoon world, unfortunately. Though I would totally be in like 10 bands in here if I could.
And his right
really
foot
would.
Is too fast for Too Far Lost. Right. And Dead Tide, it's
and my,
just too
my
fast.
Beats are, my beats are too advanced for you guys.
Yes. So anyways, we're back. Anyway, and if you're interested in trying out, toofarlost@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/toofarlostrock. Follow us on Twitter @TooFarLost, Instagram TooFarLost, everything else TooFarLost. Just Google it and avoid the links that say trapped. Yes, Behind the Barricade. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be up on iTunes soon.
Yay.
Yeah, right now you're listening to us on SoundCloud, so we thank you for that. Give us a subscription, maybe add a comment, see what you like, see what you don't, whatever. You could follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/behindthebarricade, Twitter @behindthecade, CADE, Instagram, instagram.com/behindthebarricade. I think that's about it for me. So, Justin, I want to thank you. Best of luck with Boontoon.
Thank you. Seven months
down, hopefully another 7 years to go.
I'm
best
ready
of
to
luck
rock.
With HBA
I'm ready to
too.
Rock. Boontoons all the way.
Yep, so... Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll do a part two episode, or this episode's going to be in two parts, because holy shit, this was long. Long but awesome. So,
people have told me that I'm long and awesome.
Good night.
Dan told me that, actually.
Peace.